Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us some reviews, tell your friends to subscribe, check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can email us if you want to advertise with us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. You can also send us questions to that address. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, Fred Hoiberg says there may be rotation changes.
If only we knew what rotation changes those might be for the Bulls, whose bench finally outscored the Timberwolves on Tuesday night in a loss in Tom Thibodeau's return to the United Center. But that's just because we know Tibbs never plays anyone off the bench and relies on starters more minutes than anyone else in the NBA. So, fact of the matter is the Bulls bench is still awful, atrocious, and a really big concern for this team. And we didn't touch too much on it after Tuesday night's game because we talked Tibbs so much. But Denzel Valentine and Bobby Portis, the Bulls' last two first-round picks. Where was Portis taken? 21, Denzel Valentine taken at 14, yeah. I believe. So guys that they have fairly high expectations for. Neither one got in the game against the Timberwolves, and they were both did not play coaches' decisions, which is scary a little
bit. It's not great, and it's not just a one-time thing. They've both pretty much fallen out of the rotation. Bobby was in there for a while, but Cristiano Felicio, we've talked about before, has outplayed him, and he deserves to be over him in the rotation. Denzel just has not looked. It's harder to kind of describe. With Portis, like, he's such a defensive liability. With Denzel, the problem with Denzel to me is that the one thing that he's really good at, which is ball handling.
Yeah.
They have so many other ball handlers on the roster. They don't need him to do that. They need him to be able to make shots. And, you know, he was a 44% three-point shooter in college, but he just has not been able to translate that to the NBA yet.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think we know what, like, Portis can be. Like, we've seen the glimpse of what the Bulls would hope Bobby Portis to be, and more so than anything during his rookie year when he got some extended minutes and kind of surprised people. And maybe before he was on the scouting report of any opponent, but he went for 20 and 10 a couple times, a hard worker, could roll to the hoop, finish, hit that little jump shot, and run the floor well. So again, we've seen what he might be capable of. He hasn't been able to replicate that at all this year, and I don't know why. Exactly. I think some of it is, it's a big learning curve. And at first, it's probably how we view it too, how we frame it. At first, when he's poor as a rookie, we think nothing of it because rookies don't always make instant impacts. Then when he does do it, and then when he stops doing what he did for a while, I think we maybe frame it a little differently in our minds. But it certainly falls mostly on him for not getting the job done because he's had every opportunity to be a regular rotation player and make a difference for this team early in the year. Fred gave him that chance, and he didn't pick it up and run with it, which is too bad so far for the Bulls. Now with Valentine, I don't know what, like, we haven't seen that glimpse yet. And that's okay. It's December, 14th or so? And yeah. I feel like it was late December in 2015 when we first saw maybe what Bobby was capable of. So maybe in the next month we see that out of Denzel Valentine. But again, I don't know what that is yet. Like, we don't even really have a clue what type of NBA player he is. We know what type of college player he was, making plays for everyone, having the ball in his hands a lot, like you said, able to knock down threes. And he was able to get to the hoop enough and finish. Like, it wasn't like a guy who just attacked the rim and dunked all the time, but smart passer and could slice up a defense. Obviously hasn't shown signs of that at all in the NBA yet. So, like, I'm still kind of mystified what he is as a player, you know?
Yeah, I am. But I agree with you. What I kind of feel like, though, is I feel like the rotation just kind of is, unfortunately, the best that it can be right now. While Michael Carter-Williams is still out, getting him back, I think, is going to help a lot just because that's fewer minutes that they're going to have to play Isaiah Cannon, who has not been good. I would imagine that if Denzel gets back in the rotation, you know, it would be at Cannon's expense, or at least you would think it would be, just because he's the one that I think has been hurting them the most off the bench, because he is supposed to be a three-point shooter, and he has not been making his shots, and he is not a big enough guy to be able to guard other teams' guards. And it's I don't know. There's really no clear answer, because when Bobby was playing a lot of minutes, the clear answer was, well, you know, throw Cristiano Felicio out there, see what he does, and he's been good. But, like, do you think, is Fred going to go to RJ Hunter? Is he going to go to Paul Zips or some, you know, just some of these guys at the end of the bench that just haven't really gotten in at all?
Yeah, that would shock me. So I'm not sure what Fred means by that, which I feel like a lot of the things that Fred might reference, we don't always know what he means exactly or what's going to happen, because he speaks in generalities a lot. So I'm just trying to think here. Maybe he mixes up. Maybe it's not just the personnel. Maybe it's how he's playing those nine guys together that could change. Because, again, other than Valentine for Cannon, I don't see Zips or Hunter cracking the rotation. Maybe Jaren Grant instead of Cannon. That would make sense a little bit more.
Yeah, but he hasn't shown that much either.
Yeah, he's been okay. I mean, he was okay against the Wolves in that spot start with Rondo out with an ankle injury on Tuesday night. But he obviously didn't do enough in the first half for Fred to feel like he needed to play him a lot in the second half, because he didn't play much then. So, I don't know. I don't know what Fred has in mind, do you?
I don't. I'm as lost as you are. I mean, the rotation just kind of is what it is. There's really no great options that the Bulls have, or they would be going to them. This is just not a very deep roster. You know, we talked about, we've been hammering this point home, you know, outside of their starting five, like, there's just not a lot of proven commodities on this roster, and nobody that has gotten the opportunity off the bench to, you know, make a name for themselves has really stepped up to that challenge.
Yeah, and I want to get back to those two guys you're talking about, Valentine and Portis. Like, what should the Bulls do to bring them along but, like, not lose them mentally as a young player when it's not going as well as they want and it's not going as well as the organization wants? Because say what you will, like, Dwayne Wade's probably here, what, another year for the Bulls?
Probably.
And after next season, like, there will probably be more roster turnover, and you'll see another new look Bulls group and core, presumably with Jimmy Butler building around him still. He's been magnificent. But these guys like McDermott, Mirotić, Portis, Valentine, the goal and projection was for them to be quality basketball players around Jimmy. Hope another one of them blossoms into an all-star, which it looks like none of them are on a current track anywhere near that right now. But what should the Bulls do? I mean, do you have to keep giving them minutes? Like, how do you keep their spirits up? Because it's a fine line to walk in that regard too. Maybe more so with Portis than Valentine, because he is a second year guy and Valentine's still a rookie, and that's just kind of the usual probably for rookies in the NBA. But anything you'd do there?
Well, this is why they have a D-League team, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, those are the two guys. I mean, we've seen them send RJ Hunter down. We've seen them send Paul Zipser, Jaren Grant down to the D-League to get some reps, get some minutes, play in some games. You haven't seen them do that with Bobby yet. We haven't seen them do that with Denzel yet. And I feel like those are two guys that could benefit from it.
Would Bobby take it well if he got sent down to the D-League and brought back?
Well, I actually do remember last season he was sent down to whichever team they could assign him to at the time, because they didn't have their own thing. We asked him about it, and he's like, you know, he gave this great quote. He was like, you know, a lot of people say that the D-League is bad, but it's actually a good place to get reps. So he seems like, at least last year, he was into the idea of getting reps when he wasn't playing much. So I think it's something worth exploring.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest, like, for anyone to improve, the best way to do it is just play a lot by experience, immersion, all that good stuff. But even more so, maybe, just Bobby does need to play. Because, I mean, he was still a little raw as a basketball talent coming out of Arkansas. And, I mean, when they sent Zipser down there, they played him 42 minutes out of, I think they played 48 minutes in the D-League, too. I know they've experimented with some 11-minute quarters, I believe.
That was in an NBA preseason game.
Okay. But they are experimenting with 4- and 5-man refereeing crews in the D-League. Yeah. This year in the Long Island Nets game, one of which the Windy City Bulls, I believe, are scheduled after the year turns over, January or February, to play in one of those 4- or 5-man officiating units, which maybe Dwayne Wade would have really liked if there were 5 officials on the floor on Tuesday night, because maybe the 5th official would have called a foul on that last one when he got ejected.
Right.
I didn't even see Dwayne Wade's quote about, I got ejected for telling the truth after the game, because like I said on Tuesday, I was so busy with Thibs' press conference that by the time I went back and looked at all the quotes from everyone, saw, I think, Friedel and Casey and some of the other beat writers tweet all these quotes, I picked up on a few more of them, and Dwayne Wade said, I got ejected for telling the truth. Like, you didn't get ejected for telling the truth, D-Wade. You got ejected because you threw your hands wildly in front of the official and acted childish and almost hit him.
Yeah, and the other thing is he's going to get fined for that.
He should.
He should, but he's going to. I mean, we've already seen, we just saw, I don't know if you got this pressure, Luke Walton was just fined $15,000 for quote-unquote verbally abusing an official when he got ejected the other night from the Lakers game.
Yeah, and I think that release said he didn't leave the court in a timely manner as well. I think D-Wade left the court in a really timely manner because the game was over and he just wanted to get back to the locker room and
yeah.
Everyone was mad. But yeah, I would expect a slightly lighter wallet for D-Wade. In that regard, maybe tomorrow or something like that after the NBA takes a look at it. But upcoming for the Bulls is a home-and-home with the Milwaukee Bucks at Milwaukee on Thursday night, in Chicago on Friday night. And the Bulls and the Bucks are one of two of eight teams in the East with between 11 and 13 losses. So the East is just a jumble of teams that are kind of alike right now, and the Bulls are amid that, and the Bucks a couple games behind the Bulls, I think a game and a half behind the Bulls in the standings. But playing better basketball, it seems like lately. Giannis Antetokounmpo, did I even say it right?
Yeah, I think you got it close enough. I just call him Giannis.
Giannis has been spectacular. He's averaging like 22-8-6 or 22-9-6, and he's running point form, and he's like 7 feet, 9 inches, it seems like, out there, and is just a magnificent ball handler and playmaker, and has really developed this year.
He has, and I'm expecting they're going to probably put Jimmy on him more than anybody else, so that's going to be a kind of a fun matchup to watch. I like a lot of the other pieces that the Bucks have. Jabari Parker has been playing extremely well. John Henson has been coming on. You know, I like this Bucks. I didn't think they were going to be this good after Chris Middleton went down, and they traded for Bulls legend Tony Snell.
Yeah, well, you said you like a lot of the pieces. I know you're not really high on Tony Snell because we've talked about him enough.
Because we've watched him for 3 years.
Former Bull. But, I mean, what they wanted out of Snell was just a guy on the wing to defend, which he can still do, obviously. Like you mentioned, Jabari Parker, 19.4 points per game this year. So he has stepped up there for the Bucks in that capacity. But this Jimmy, I want to see if Jimmy rises to the occasion against Giannis, because Jimmy's been so consistent this year, so brilliant offensively, and it was in 2015-16, a year ago, when he always felt like his defense lagged a little bit when he did a lot offensively. And not to say that was a season-long problem, but there were multiple occasions where he admitted that, and this will be a big matchup for him. In that sense, can he? I don't know if he'll guard him the whole game, but Jimmy's got to end up on Giannis at various parts of the game, I would think, because you don't want Dwayne Wade chasing him around the whole night. We should update on Rajon Rondo. He did light practice today, Wednesday, is that correct?
Yeah.
It's questionable.
Game time decision for tomorrow. Fred said yesterday that they're hoping to have him back for one of the two Milwaukee games. He said they have a plan. I asked him today at practice if they have a plan for Dwayne Wade, whether he's going to play both halves of the back-to-back. He said they have a plan. The plan is for him to play tomorrow. He didn't say anything about Friday.
Play it by ear.
I guess it'll depend on, you know, like if the game tomorrow isn't close and Dwayne doesn't play much, then I'd imagine he'll play on Friday. But
if he goes out there and plays 36 hard minutes,
he'd probably sit. Yeah, MCW still scheduled to have his wrist re-examined on Friday, so then we'll maybe know some more about him by then.
Yeah, it makes more sense, I think, to just have like Dwayne Wade play Dellavedova, who's probably gonna stand.
That's right, Deli's on the Bucks.
Stand in the corner and stand behind the three-point line. Like, D-Wade doesn't have to chase him around as much, obviously. So I would think we'd get some Jimmy Giannis, which is really cool because, I mean, that's a matchup that could be a big deal in the East for the next 5 years or so.
Well,
once
LeBron, like, fades out in a few years, I think those are the next two guys.
You could make the argument that they're the second and third best players in the East?
I think so. I mean, with Paul George has faded a little bit. He's had some injuries, but
Paul George is, when he's at at his best, I think he's probably number two.
But I think as of who's as far as who's having the best season right now out of guys in the East that aren't LeBron, I think it's those two.
Yeah. We haven't got Giannis in MVP consideration that I've heard of. Have we seen that on NBA Twitter?
I've seen a little bit of it on Twitter. Realistically, the Bucks are not going to win enough games for him to become a serious candidate. But
a fringe candidate,
right?
Like
for
Jimmy's
sure, kind of like how Jimmy Butler is right now. But the thing is, there's just so many guys. I mean, last year it was just so obvious that Steph Curry was the MVP. Like, there's just so many guys this year. I mean, it's Harden, it's Russ. Those guys are both putting up insane numbers.
Chris Paul's
been great. LeBron has been LeBron. Kawhi Leonard's been incredible. Jimmy's in there. Kemba Walker is in there. Charlotte's been really good. I think he deserves some consideration. Kyle Lowry. Like, there's like 10 guys you can talk about.
People don't realize that LeBron's season is getting overshadowed a little bit, in part because, like, Russ is averaging a triple-double, or was as of a couple days ago, I know. And LeBron is pretty close to that, too.
Kevin Durant?
He's like a point or a rebound and assist away in that regard, one or two, from possibly that triple-double range as well. Kevin Durant shooting, like, what, 56%?
He's having his most efficient season ever. And it's just, I mean, he probably won't get the votes because he plays for the Warriors, but, like, he's been incredible. There's like 10 guys. There's legitimately 10 guys that you can make an MVP case for. It's crazy.
The NBA's in a really good spot.
The talent, I think, has never been deeper than it is right now.
The thing about Giannis, so, like, despite so much talent, despite seeing so many types of basketball players through the years in the NBA, and, I mean, even dating back to the 80s, you know, like, he's unique. From all of those players, he's still found a way to be unique, like something we've never seen before.
And I still don't think he's as good as he's going to be.
Oh, no. He's like, what, 22 or something?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Signed that extension. He's 4 years locked up for the Bucks, right?
Yeah, I think. 4 years, so, 100 mil.
That was a spectacular use of resources and idea and money by the Bucks to sign him to that rookie deal extension. But I don't know how you play him either. He's getting better at shooting from the outside, but I still think you got to make him beat you.
He's got that Euro step now. What can you do with any? Like he's one of the most unguardable guys in the league. Jimmy's gonna have his work cut out for him.
And I think this game will be telling in the sense of whether the Bulls step up. It's probably the most Bulls thing anyway to go 1-1 on this home and home.
Well, I think,
but I do want to see . Like we mentioned, they were kind of down in the locker room just as far as not being as defiant as usual after a loss, just kind of going through the motions, it felt like, in the post-game scene. So what do they come back with, you know?
Right, and I think they're going to be highly motivated. They need a win tomorrow after how much of a letdown that loss to Minnesota was after they were up big early and then they blew the 21-point lead and, like, you know, if that is the start of a big, you know, losing streak, because they had, you know, before that they beat, you know, they had that great win against San Antonio, they had kind of an ugly win against Miami, but still a win, and then if the Thibodeau game, and, you know, them having a huge lead and blowing it starts like a big, you know, losing skid, then that could be looked at later on in the season as kind of the turning point when the season that started off promising went off the rails. So getting a win here, or even, you know, two wins in a row against Milwaukee, would kind of alleviate that a little bit.
Yeah, and again, there's nothing about this Bulls team that makes me think they're capable of, like, reeling off 7 or 8 straight wins later in the season.
They're too inconsistent.
So if they go a couple games under 500, there's not a 7 or 8 game run coming where they can get back to that 46-win plateau or something by season's end. So that's why the consistency matters for them from night to night, because when you can't shoot three-pointers, you're not going to be as explosive of a basketball team. Did want to get to a couple questions on Locked On Bulls. Ryan didn't really ask a question to us on Twitter, but he said, please tell me that the Bulls are looking to make a trade.
I haven't heard anything concrete about what they are or aren't looking to do, but this roster as it is right now could certainly use some upgrades. I just don't know where those upgrades will come from. I can't think of any guys off the top of my head who are both available and that the Bulls would have the assets to get. They don't really have a lot of assets to trade because, like, all their... I mean, which of their bench guys do you think has value to people around the league? I don't think any of them do.
Maybe Doug, but, like, they want Doug. If somebody wants a rotation player who can shoot and is high on his future. But that's what the Bulls, they want Doug to be that guy. Like, they give up 2 first-round draft picks for him. They want him to be a quality NBA starter. So he has value, but there's kind of a distinction there between what the Bulls want and how the rest of the league views him. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I don't know that Nico has a lot of trade value. Someone might still like him, but
his you could talk maybe somebody into Bobby or Denzel just based on potential, but I don't know how much you'll get back for either of them.
Yeah, they're let's just say the Bulls stocks right now aren't very high on the trade market. So I mean, I'm sure they'll entertain and have plenty of talks. Just don't expect another key piece to be added. If someone does get added in a trade, I think it's either with an eye toward the future, more for a rebuilding effort, or it's a fringe rotation guy, you know, like
right, the eighth man, like when they got Justin Holiday last year.
Yeah, something like that is what I would say is more likely. And again, it's probably more likely in February than it is here in December anyway. You can find us on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, and that's where number one Bulls fan sent us a question. And he says, didn't Gar and Pax want more athleticism this past offseason? They really got exposed against the Timberwolves in that regard. Yes, the Bulls wanted to get younger and more athletic. Yes, they got younger in some ways. They still play a lot of old guys.
And yes, when they had the press conference when they signed Rondo this summer, Gar talked about how they were successful in getting younger and more athletic.
30-year-old going on 31. Mm-hmm. And then Rondo is, he's a shade of his former self when it comes to being in.
They certainly got younger because they have a veteran starting five, and then just about everybody else on their roster is, I mean, I guess, you know, MCW's fourth year, but pretty much everybody else on the roster is third year or less experience. So it's just, I feel like they don't have enough middle ground between the guys like Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade, who have been in the league for 10 plus years, and the guys like, you know, Jaren Grant and Bobby Portis, who have almost no NBA experience.
Yeah, that's kind of the plan. Those young guys learn the culture and winning ways and correct habits from those old guys. But like you said, it's not exactly a staircase here where you're just stepping down from one to the next in terms of experience for the Bulls. It's just the old guys and the young guys, pretty much. I guess Jimmy's in the middle right there, and he's a superstar.
Right, but that's one guy, though, and that's a guy that they're asking to do so much. I just don't know how sustainable it is.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on all of that for you. I think we hit on pretty much all the updates we need.
Not anything else, really. I think we'll probably, because I'm going to Milwaukee tomorrow, you're not, we're going to probably just do an episode after the second Milwaukee game on Friday. Recap both.
So we'll have 96 minutes of Bucks Bulls basketball to recap. Maybe even 101 if one of them goes into overtime or something.
Don't say that. I don't know if any. I don't think anybody really wants that to happen.
Overtime's fine as long as it's a fitting situation. I don't know that Bulls Bucks overtime, like Cavs Bulls overtime in the playoffs or something. Awesome. Not huge into overtime. Just with Monday.
Remember that 4 overtime game we covered against Detroit last year? Let's not have a repeat of that.
That was, it's fun to look back on and say I was at a 4 overtime game. It wasn't always great basketball, that game. I remember a lot of missed shots for wins in that basketball game from both teams. I think it was, 147, 144
It was pretty bad.
Like that, but yeah, certainly always remember that one. But we'll keep you updated. The Bulls are 13-11, looking to right the ship at Milwaukee against the Bucks on Thursday night. As always, follow Sean on Twitter at Hyken. Follow myself at Cody Westerlund. Our podcast is on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. You can tweet us questions. Subscribe to us by clicking on our links there. We have a Facebook page, Locked On Bulls. So if that's the way you like to find your podcast, visit that as well. But most of all, subscribe to us.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play. Make sure you subscribe. Give us a good review. Tell your friends to subscribe. All that stuff. If you want to advertise with us, email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Locked On NFL Draft. Every NFL team and every NBA team all have their own podcast on the Locked On Network. Make sure you check all that out, and we will be back with you soon. Take it easy.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.